And we are back. Nevada Shooters, how the hell are you this morning, this afternoon, whatever it is?
This afternoon.
My day is going late here. We got 3:07 in the afternoon on KNews 107.3 Arm Nevada Radio. Ben, how are you, buddy?
Man, when did it get so cold? Like, wasn't it just 90 degrees
overnight,
like a week or two ago?
Literally overnight. It just dropped to sub-Arctic temperatures.
Yeah, it'll be fun for your class tomorrow, huh?
Well, we're in the classroom tomorrow. I've got a concealed carry course going on tomorrow. Full class, 10 people. And we got the classroom tomorrow, remind me about that in a second.
It's still going to be cold, though, when you guys go out to the range.
Well, yeah, colder. The range on Sunday, they're now forecasting a 60% chance of light precip and snow.
Yeah, sounds like
so.
Fun.
Yeah, it is. But I'll be prepared this time. Last time we had a shoot, it was pouring rain the entire time. I didn't have my rain gear out there. Yeah, I, the instructor, was not prepared, I know.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I've got to drive over the mountain down into the People's Republic of California.
Oh, well, lucky you.
Not really.
Bring your lawyer's number on speed dial.
Right.
Speaking of classroom, guess what's open?
Your new classroom.
Trinity Tactical's new classroom is open.
I saw the photos. It looks awesome.
It's really nice. I can't thank, I guess this isn't really a plug. I'll come out and say it. I can't thank Max Bail Bonds enough.
It should be a plug.
They own the building at, it's 910 East Parr Boulevard. My classroom is suite number 5. They own the building there, and they, to call them gracious in extending me this opportunity, it doesn't even begin to cover it. It's a massive understatement. It's a beautiful classroom. It was, that whole suite was nothing but storage. It was an old nail salon, I think.
Yeah.
Chop shop, and
they cleaned it up.
They did. The walls were all covered in mirrors. They pulled all the mirrors down. They cleaned it. Brand new carpeting, brand new travertine tile in the entryway. Refinished the walls, repainted, new baseboards, new thermostat.
Yeah, new carpet.
New carpet. It's beautiful. Oh, it's got that new room smell to it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nice. It's beautiful. I've got it all set up now.
That'll last for one class.
What, the new carpet smell?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, probably. But it's great. I got the coffee center set up in there, so we got coffee.
And I saw you put up some artwork in there.
I did, and I knew you were going to notice that because we talked about prints.
Right.
But Robin surprised me.
I wasn't making money off you. I don't care where you get them done.
Robin surprised me, and she said, hey, I want to get you these prints for your classroom.
Awesome.
So, we ended up getting them at, I think we had them done at Walgreens or something because we had a code for 50% off. So I got like a 2-for-1 deal on...
Just as a disclaimer, I never encourage my customers to get their artwork done at Walgreens.
Well, true dat.
I just don't want anyone to think I recommended that because I didn't.
No, you didn't. You did not. I'll tell you, they look great. They're perfect for the classroom. They are not, I will tell you, however, the high-resolution quality that you would have put out.
Right. Speaking of artwork and high-resolution quality, did you see the photo that I put up on Instagram?
Good Lord, yes.
Yeah, is that awesome?
Why can't I repost it? I tried hitting the repost. I can't do it.
I don't know.
It won't let me repost.
Well, so we'll have to throw this photo on the Facebook page, but it's basically a photo of you and your Glock. I photoshopped a little laser in there.
You did. I see you modified that a little bit.
I did.
That's pretty badass.
So yeah, I thought that was cool for something different.
Yeah,
we got to mix it up.
Well, I'll screenshot it and save it to the Arm Nevada Radio page so people can see that. It's as usual. Nobody makes me look better than you do.
And you know what? We talk about your business all the time, so I'm going to like be selfish
and talk about
my business for a little bit.
Very deserving.
The last like week and a half has been epic. We have gotten quite a bit of attention from Pipe Hitters Union.
Uh-huh.
And I'm trying to, who else? A bunch of people shared.
SKD Tactical.
Refactor Tactical.
Yep.
So it's been pretty cool. So it's, just getting the exposure out there and getting people seeing my work. And those guys have tremendous social media reach. So
yes, they do. I think lightning's going to strike for you. I really do.
Well, there's something in the works. I think it's going to.
Is that what we talked about on the phone the other day?
Yep. So,
nice. That's huge.
I know.
Listen up, listeners. We're not going to talk about it now because we don't want to.
We're still working on the horse.
But if this goes through for Ben, this is gigantic. This is a huge, huge name in the operational and tactical community.
I'm excited. This year has been great. I've had some big clients. You know, there's a couple startups I've been involved with that I think will become big in the tactical world. You know, like we should have our friends from Furious Tactical on the show here soon.
Yes, we should. I was thinking too, I want to have, Russ on from Nevada Cerakote. I want to get him on here.
I want to talk about Cerakote.
Yeah, I kind of mentioned it to him, to Russ Bacon, the other day when I talked to him on the phone, that we'd like to have him on the show. He's all for it. He's ready to do it. So.
Oh, and I'm doing something with him, too. So it's, yeah, it's been good. This has been a good week.
Well, I tell you, I'm proud of being a part of it.
Yeah.
That's why I can't hear you. My mic wasn't plugged in, or my headphones weren't plugged in.
Oh, wow.
Oh, there you go. Now
you're not,
I got
you're not missing anything.
I hear word like that.
So
another, what do we have today?
Another huge week. Amazingly huge. I've got 8 or 9 huge stories to talk about. Mm-hmm. What do you have?
Our producer Sean passed me one just a minute ago. It's a bill that would slap a $100 tax
on
the gun sales, put money towards mental health programs, and it heads to Congress. I don't think this has a hope in hell.
No, I don't think so either.
Passing, it's a feel good measure. I think in the best case scenario, if the Democrats can say, well, you know what? Look, we tried something. We proposed common sense gun control,
right.
And once again, the Republicans shot it down.
Well,
and I'm no fan of either the Democrats or the Republicans, but I think that's the underlying tone of this. And we can talk about that a little bit too here.
Oh, for sure.
This bill proposes,
but you know what? For our listeners that maybe don't pay close enough attention to all this stuff that happens in Washington, I think that is one of the. That's become one of the go-to tactics for the gun control crowd, mm-hmm. is the tax issue.
Yeah.
You know, you look at Seattle, San Francisco, and now in Washington, they're proposing taxes on gun purchases. And you know what? No matter how you shape it, whether it's restricting your ability to buy certain firearms or taxing those firearms purchases or even threatening to make you buy insurance, that's all gun control.
It is. It's all an infringement, and it's a clear violation of the Second Amendment. It shall not be infringed.
And you know what?
Period.
If we look at... So one of the biggest increase or demographics that's increased in terms of gun ownership over the last few years has been minorities, right? Mm-hmm. In poorer neighborhoods.
Yeah.
So when I'm getting mad.
Take a breath.
I'm getting so frustrated because you know what? The Democrats talk about how they're this all-inclusive party, right? And how they're all for the minority and they're all for the down and out. And here they are disenfranchising a group of minorities, I think, and poorer individuals that are seeking to defend themselves or to exercise their
Second
Amendment.
Here's where I'm going to disagree with you. Yes, they are for everybody. They're for everybody that agrees with them.
Right.
Anybody else can go to hell.
Well,
and all this is, all these propositions are the tax on gun, the proposed $100 tax on gun purchases, the proposed tax on ammunition, the proposed background checks for ammunition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Look, this isn't common sense gun control. It's common sense gun control as a mask to mask their real intent.
Right.
Which is to make it as absolutely difficult as possible for the American public to buy or possess a firearm.
Right.
Look what happened in San Francisco. The last gun shop closed. Why?
Yep.
Because they made it as difficult as possible for them to remain in business.
Well, and they're doing that now with ammunition purchases in California.
Yep.
You know, that whole proposal to do background checks and fingerprinting and photographs to buy ammunition.
Well, and look at California's lead ban. That was much less an environmental issue than it was a backdoor gun issue.
Absolutely.
And what has happened since they banned lead? Every time you take something away, what fills the vacuum?
Well.
So now we've got the polymer case
ingenuity.
Polymer bullets that are coming out that are getting tremendous reviews. We have the Team Never Quit ammo, which is the
frangible
centered solid copper and tin bullets.
Yep.
Look. Something's going to fill a vacuum here.
Well, here's my irritation with proposing a tax, because I guarantee there's some people out there, probably not in our audience, but some people out there that are saying, oh, well, it goes to mental health. That's perfect. That's going to help us deter or solve the mass shooter problem. Well, first of all, it won't. Second of all, what government tax has ever stayed the same? Does your car registration ever go down?
No.
Not per the price of the car.
No.
When you know, has our sales tax ever gone down?
Nope.
Have our property taxes ever gone down?
Nope.
Not recently.
Nope.
So, you know, the whole thing about $100 tax is, you think it's going to stay at $100? Absolutely not.
No, that'll go up.
And that's the thing. Pretty soon it'll go up to the point where they're absolutely excluding more and more buyers. And before too long, it becomes financially prohibitive for all but the richest people to own
firearms. Well, we're up against a break right now. When we come back, I want to call out this senator this congresswoman that is proposing this. We're going to be back right after the break. You listen to Ben and Gary on KNews 107.3 FM, Arm Nevada Radio. All right. We're having some rather colorful off-mic conversation that is not suitable for radio.
Oh, my God.
That's why we're laughing. All right, we're back. You're listening to Ben and Gary on Armed and Battered Radio, 107.3 FM. We were talking about this bill that would slap a $100 tax on a gun sales, and the proposal that was put forth by U.S. Congresswoman Nydia Velázquez wants to take...
Wait, where is she from? People's Republic of California or New York?
Well, it's got to be one of the two. It doesn't say here in the article. I've never even heard of her before.
Or Chicago.
Or Chicago. That's another one.
It doesn't say in there? Oh, usually it says where they're from.
Yeah, it doesn't. It just says U.S. Congresswoman Nydia Velázquez. Well, what they want to do is they want to take this $100 tax on every gun sale. And I mean every gun sale in the country. And they want to put it towards mental health programs.
Wait, but you know what that'll do too, right?
What's that?
If I sell a gun privately here in Nevada, uh-huh, and I don't pay the $100 tax.
Right.
Oh, I guarantee this is a backdoor way for registration and then universal background checks also.
Absolutely.
Oh,
you bet it is.
Jeez.
Yep.
Because then I'm going to be evading taxes if I sell privately without the tax being charged.
Well, and here it is, the very first part of this article. A new bill to reduce gun violence aims to hit would-be weapons buyers where it hurts, in the wallet. There you go. They're making it as difficult as they possibly can to buy firearms. U.S. Congresswoman Nydia Velázquez is introducing a bill that would slap every gun sale with a $100 tax and then use the extra money on anti-violence and anti-mental health programs. And we know that every time a Democrat proposes a program, it's a goat rope. She announced a new legislation, which will be introduced to Congress later this week at City Hall on Monday, alongside key supporters, including U.S. Rep. Hakeem Jeffries. Oh, this comes out of New York Daily News, so I'm going to guess.
I'm willing to bet she's New York.
Well, here it is right here. You would bet correctly. U.S. Representative Nydia Velázquez, Democrat from New York. Jeffries will co-sponsor the bill, which will also include provisions that would require all gun owners to report any stolen weapons within 48 hours. If they don't, $10,000 penalty. So here you go.
There it is. There it is.
Who is not going to report? Well, of all the guns that are stolen, I'm willing to bet you that the vast, vast majority of guns that are stolen are reported. I'm not going to say every gun stolen is ever reported, because that's just... I think
the vast majority of law-abiding gun owners that have a gun stolen are going to report it. Wouldn't you?
I know I would. Well, I want my damn gun back.
Well, not only that, but...
Then I want to beat the thief to death with it.
Well, not only that, but then you don't want the liability of what can happen. You know, if that gun gets stolen...
And then is
used in a crime, I want to document it. I reported it stolen.
I have big air quotes next to my head. I know somebody who received a phone call after a gun was sold and it went to ended up in the People's Republic of California and traced back to the original buyer. So you don't think that this is a backdoor way for registration? Come on now.
Well, we already have it based on the 4473 ATF form, I think, personally. But
right. Well, it says here, currently there is no such requirement to report weapons stolen, which is true. You don't have to report weapons stolen. There's no legislation that says you do.
Yeah.
A loophole that allows shady straw buyers to pretend that guns they purchased were simply stolen when they turn up in crimes. And again, $10,000 fine if you don't report your gun stolen. It will also require the National Institute for Standards and Technology, the federal agency that is tasked with developing new technologies, to work with the Department of Justice to develop better technologies to determine the origins of guns used in crimes.
You know what that is?
Guess how they do that?
Micro stamping.
Yep. And what comes with micro stamping? Registration. Yep.
And then what comes along with registration eventually?
Velázquez says gun violence is a plague on our city that shatters lives and tears families apart. And now she's speaking about New York. Who are the most prominent victims of gun violence lately in the city of New York? NYPD. This bill will take meaningful steps to address the issue, reducing the flow of guns on the street. No, it won't.
No, it will not.
Empowering law enforcement to better track missing weapons while investigating in community anti-violence programs.
Now,
blah, blah, blah.
We just talked about where the majority of criminal guns come from based on that Cook County survey.
I recovered a stolen gun in Carson City, in possession of a Carson City gang member, that was stamped on the side of the slide. It was a Glock 17, stamped on the side of the slide, Detroit Police Department. Guess where it was stolen from? Detroit.
Right.
That's where the original gun was. That's where the gun was originally stolen from. Guess it was stolen from a private party person. Guess how the private party person got it? Because I talked to Detroit PD to try to track down who was the owner of the gun.
Yeah.
Detroit PD held a mass auction of firearms.
Really?
When they got rid of the Glock 17 and went to whatever they're carrying now, they auctioned off all of their department guns.
Huh.
And this was stolen from somebody that bought this gun on an auction.
See, that's why we can't have nice things.
Exactly. Jeez. Exactly. So that's that. What do you have?
Well, speaking of gun laws, you know, last week we talked about how Obama isn't enforcing existing gun laws. So here's just another example. On November 2nd, Obama nominated U.S. District Judge Eleanor Ross gave a one-year probation sentence to a woman who admitted to buying a gun for her boyfriend, which was later used to shoot and kill Omaha police officer Carrie Orozco. And this was that sad story where she had just given birth. Mm-hmm. What was that, 3 or 4 months prior?
Yeah, was back on the job.
Super, super tragic story. And here, the person that, you know, so straw purchase, which is a felony, right? And talks about, according to Omaha.com, Johnson took Wheeler's money, bought a Glock semi-automatic handgun, plus a 50-round drum magazine, ammunition from a pawn shop in Jonesboro, Georgia. On ATF form 4473, she answered yes when asked if she was the actual buyer of the gun. She then gave the gun to Wheeler on May 20th. He used it to open fire on the officers trying to arrest him. He fired 9 rounds. One of them proved fatal to Officer Orozco. Wheeler was then killed when Sergeant Kopietz returned fire. So, you know, here we've got, well, not only that, but they're going across state lines to purchase handguns. So
there's your background check system that we already have in place. So why is Obama... It's not him personally, but it's his judge.
Well, his appointee.
Sure. Why are they not enforcing these federal gun laws?
And why was the U.S. attorney or the district attorney here, why are they not pressing for the full weight of the law? I'm sorry. This is involved in a law enforcement murder, which, you know...
is a capital crime.
Right. And you have somebody here who is an accessory to that. This is completely, absolutely, 100% unacceptable.
Yes.
And not only that, in today's day and age where we're wanting to crack down on gun violence, here we have an existing law that's already on the books. We can throw the book at this person that made this straw purchase, and we're not.
Yep.
So we're sending a signal to, or sending a message to all criminals that, hey, you know, you straw purchase, you do whatever, you cross state lines, you get your hand slapped.
So here's
1 year probation is a joke.
Here's an interesting... Oh, it is. And, you know, the question is whether that's supervised or unsupervised. There's two types of probation.
I don't care if it's supervised or unsupervised.
Exactly. But if it's unsupervised, all she's got to do is stay arrest-free for 1 year. Okay. Most criminals stay arrest-free for 1 year. They're just not getting caught. So if it's supervised probation, she has to submit to piss tests and, you know... hair samples for narcotics, et cetera, et cetera. So supervised probation might be a little more difficult for her to complete. However...
Well, in addition to 1 year of probation, 40 hours of community service and 180 days of house arrest. What a joke.
So what she... Right. And all she's got to do is not get caught for 1 year, and she's free. Now, if she... Here's the thing. There is a silver lining to this. If she violates her probation, typically what is supposed to happen is you go to your violation hearing in court... And the judge has the option, if this is a local, I'm assuming this is probably a local judge. Well, no, it's Obama appointee, right?
It's a federal judge.
Okay, so this federal judge has the option of throwing her back in jail or back in prison for a felony for the duration of her sentence. So what they do is they suspend, I don't know what the original sentence could have been, what the max was or minimum was. Let's just say, for the sake of argument, 5 years. If she violates her probation, she can be sent right back to serve the remainder of her five-year sentence, less the amount of time she's already served on probation. So there is that silver lining. But, you know, the question is she going to stay caught or uncaught? Is she going to do her probation? Because she's going to go right back to doing this. And here's another interesting point. There's your background checks at work right there.
Right.
There's your 4473. So she was otherwise able to pass Nick's background check.
Yep.
But still lied on the form and use a gun for illicit purposes.
Well, and then according to this, then sold the gun to a prohibited person. So all kinds of laws being broken.
Yeah. If they would only enforce the federal gun laws that we have on the books, like we talked about last week, you could eliminate a lot of this. And you know what? A police officer would be alive. A husband and 3 children would not be without their wife and mother today. Had this useless broad,
right,
not done what she had done.
You're restraining yourself very well.
Oh, you don't.
This story.
Yeah. Imagine the word I wanted to use.
Let's see. Well, this was from this morning. Here's defensive gun use. Dad shoots, kills man who held gun to teen daughter's head. Did you see this?
No.
So this is out of St. Louis.
imagine that.
An attempted home invasion turned into a shooting investigation after a man shot two men, killing one and leaving the other in critical condition.
Good.
As they held his daughter at gunpoint and tried to get inside the family's home. A 17-year-old girl was outside getting something from her car when she was confronted by two armed men who held a gun to her head and told her to return to her house. The father saw the suspects walking his daughter toward the house. He went and got his gun, fired several rounds at the suspects, hitting both of them. You know what? Bravo.
Oh, yeah. Bravo.
Nice shooting, man.
You betcha. This brings up a great point, too, and this is something that we train in our classes. Can you take that headshot when somebody's holding your family member around the throat?
Right, here it is, right?
Okay.
Here's that scenario right here. Yep.
Awesome for him. Good job.
The first suspect was pronounced dead at the scene. The second suspect ran away, got into the first suspect's car, contacted his brother to take him to the hospital. He's in critical condition with gunshot wounds to the chest and both thighs.
Awesome.
Police say he will face charges. Well, hooray for that. Oh,
good for him.
No one in the home was injured.
You know what I want these articles to say? The first suspect was pronounced room temperature at the scene. That's what I wanted to say.
Well, so, I mean,
because that's what we're aiming for.
And then we had another big self-defense story with the mother feeding her child or her baby.
Yes. The military dependent.
Yeah. So do you have that article there?
I don't have that one up.
Let's see if I've got that in my pile of stuff here.
I know. It's on our Facebook page.
Anyway, she was feeding her baby, attempted home invasion, and she, retrieves a firearm, and
here it is right here, pulling up right now. New mother feeding baby. Oh, of course not. New mother feeding baby pulls gun, fights off home invaders. Let's see. Give me a second here. 21-year-old Samantha Bunce was feeding her 4-month-old son when a home invasion crew kicked in her front door Tuesday morning. She pulled a gun and defended her family. On the surface, 24-year-old Samantha Bunce doesn't appear to be much different than any other new mom. But when home invaders kicked in her door, she fed her 4-month-old son. She showed the soul of a warrior.
Wow. Absolutely.
And she took the fight to those who dared to put her family in danger. Bunce met the home invaders head on in a gun battle, driving them from her home. Even though she took two hits in the exchange of gunfire,
wow,
she managed to climb back up the stairs and check on her son before she dialed 911 and began taking care of her wounds before the ambulance arrived.
Wow.
All right, I want to read the rest of this article because it's really
all
cool.
Right.
So we're going to be back right after a break. You're listening to Ben and Gary, KNews 107.3 FM, Armed Nevada Radio. All right, you're back with Ben and Gary on Armed Nevada Radio, KNews 107.3 FM. We're talking about Samantha Bunce. And,
amazing.
A daughter of Sparta.
For sure.
I'm going to borrow a phrase from
300?
From 300. it says, I think it was a shock to intruders just as much as it was to her, said Paul Bunce, her husband. Paul told Channel 9 his wife is a combat medic. She's not a military dependent. She's actually a service member.
So she does have a warrior's heart.
Combat medic with the National Guard. He believes her training allowed her to stay mentally focused and calm during what was a fight for her life.
Yep.
They've got a long journey, said one neighbor outside the Bruce Bunce's home. Since the shooting, neighbors have embraced the family. Many stopped by the house and offered their thoughts and prayers for a mother who risked it all to protect her own. And you know what? And I want to offer my – I know they'll probably never hear this, but, you know, for everybody out there, I want to offer my thoughts and prayers to that family too.
Yeah.
And you know what? My absolute congratulations to this woman.
Yeah.
What a warrior. Absolute warrior. This goes to two things. Real quick, I'm going to say this. I want to segue into what you want to do. This goes to that warrior mindset. You do not have to be a service member to have that warrior mindset.
Right.
And this also goes – to continued training and having a weapon within access to the home. That you're proficient with.
And so two things. One, first point is, you know what? This is absolutely, I feel like, the personification of what ultimately your role is as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know what? When you have small kids, in this case, it was a four-month-old or 5-month-old, that child is absolutely dependent on you to provide for their safety.
Absolutely.
And same thing with this, you know, she may have been 17, but you know what? She's at home. Dad is in charge of her safety. I take the safety and protection of my children very seriously, especially when they're in the home.
Yep.
The other point I want to make is home carry.
Well, she was 21.
21.
21 years old. Still, that's young.
It is young.
That's a young mom.
Yeah. Hey, we were young when we started to have kids. But anyway, home carry, super important. Mm-hmm. I think that this kind of gets lost in the concealed carry talk. You know, I talk to a lot of people that they go home, and the second they get home, they drop that gun in their safe.
Yep.
You know what? Why not carry it home? My gun is comfortable enough. I keep it on until the second I get into bed, and then I drop it in my fingerprint safe. Because in my house, I have a split-level house, so upstairs, downstairs. If somebody's kicking in my front door...
You don't have an access of retreat.
I don't. Well, that, and I don't think I have enough time. If I'm downstairs, I got to run upstairs and back downstairs, or I've got to run upstairs, corral my kids like herding cats upstairs, and then come down and you know defend my house against the threat. I think this is a perfect illustration of why it is so important. Or like this dad, where he notices his daughter being marched up to the front door. I'm assuming or through the garage. That's not a lot of time to react.
No,
it wouldn't be in my house. And so I think this is why it's super important to have that firearm where it's accessible. And I would say that's your hip, especially if you have children in your hip. It's got to be on your hip because you can't leave it around on the counter. But yeah, home carry. I think it's super important.
I carry it home. I carry it home every day.
I do too.
My gun is never off my side until I get ready to go to bed at night. And then it is very accessible while I'm sleeping at night.
Yeah.
You know, I've had... you know, several bumps of the night where I've gotten up and I've grabbed. Here's another thing too. I've had a my carry gun does not have a light on it, so I have a tactical
home defense
handheld light.
Yep.
Right next to my gun when I'm sleeping, and I've had a couple instances with bumps of the night where I've gotten that gun and I've cleared my own house.
Yeah.
You know, I don't recommend people do that. Trust me, I have a course for room clearing, but don't do it. You know, barricade yourself. Get on the phone, hold that gun at the ready, and call 911, and then be prepared to deal with whatever you have to deal with before the cops get there.
Right.
You know, the thing, too, about the dad that killed the one home invader, had his daughter at gunpoint.
Yeah.
This goes to that training that we do with headshot training.
Right.
Because, you know, look, they didn't walk her into the house with a gun extended, full extension to the gun at the back of her head.
Nope.
No. They had that girl around the throat or around the shoulders with that gun to the side of her head.
Yep.
And... you know,
that's a tough shot to make.
That is a tough shot to make. How many people are going to let their child remain in that position?
I would hope not many.
No. Well, speaking for myself, no, you're not getting out of my house.
Yep.
It's not happening. You're going to leave there on a gurney or in a body bag, and the choice is yours.
Well, and I think this is why it's super important to have, especially a home defense gun or a concealed carry firearm, that you can shoot well and that your accuracy is acceptable on.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I think it's important to find that right gun, what fits your hand the best.
It is. It is. And have that gun accessible to you.
Hey, gun porn.
Oh, I read that article.
Can we say that porn on the air?
Yeah, we can say porn on the air. We all know we're talking about gun porn, right?
CBS Atlanta targets stores for, quote, gun porn magazines in view of children.
Now, these aren't what, you know, for those of you that don't know what gun porn is, this is not, you know, hot chicks in various stages of disrobing, posing with firearms.
No, this is like one of them, personal home defense. And home defense magazine.
Home defense magazine, American Handgunner, Guns and Ammo.
Yep. Recoil.
Recoil magazine.
Yep.
That's, you know, gun porn is a term that's been coined by those of us in the industry because that's, you know, that's our thrill. I mean, we like... doing our research.
Listen to this. This is CBS Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
They say they describe, quote, gun porn as magazines with, quote, photos of guns, which are displayed in the same carefully posed and lighted manner as the models in traditional pornography.
For God's sake.
What kind of mental illness do these people at CBS have? Seriously.
Is this legislation or just something that CBS Atlanta is
No,
proposing?
I think this is just what they picked up. So
do they not understand the tenets of the First Amendment?
Well, no, but you know, not only that, how do you justify or how do you make a statement with a straight face that these magazines are lit the same way as traditional pornography?
How do they know?
Right.
What are they researching porn before they went to this leap?
Well, because liberals, you know, they like porn.
Oh,
according to CBS 46, gun porn magazines contain headlines like Don't Be a Victim and The Ultimate Guide for Staying Alive. The magazines often, quote, include...
God forbid.
Right. Quote, include glossy covers with sexy young women armed and ready to shoot. I'd like to point out that the one that... is on the top of the news story.
This is interesting.
Is personal and home defense, right?
Right.
And it's actually a model I know well. She's in Utah. She's fully clothed in office wear, right?
Uh-huh.
She's got, I think she's got a skirt on that's down below her knees. She's got a blazer, a sweater, and a dress shirt. And she has retrieved a gun out of her purse. She's on her cell phone calling the cops. And it's all about workplace violence. How in the hell would you...
Look, it's probably been since I was 16 or 17 that I last looked at a porno magazine, a real porno magazine. I don't remember any of the models in those
being fully clothed,
dressed in business attire.
Right.
That just doesn't sell.
Well, and then check this out. They also point out the covers of other gun porn magazines that show men in inflatable rubber boats paddling through rough waters in outdoors clothing with rifles slung over their shoulders. Are you
the horror?
You can't make this stuff up.
You can't.
Oh,
you
my
can't.
Gosh.
This is beyond ludicrous. I cannot believe that an allegedly reputable news organization as CBS News.
Right.
And I don't think CBS has been reputable since Walter Cronkite, but
right.
They're supposed to be a reputable news agency.
They're still considered mainstream media though.
They're making this up. You're entitled to your opinion, not your own facts. They are literally, look, I might give them a little bit of credence if it was just a little reach, but there is nothing that backs up the contrast and comparison to pornography.
The reporter, Karen Greer, who deserves our scorn, I think, says, quote, sexually explicit and tabloid magazines are kept on the top shelf of stores to keep them out of sight of precious young children. That's a direct quote. But gun magazines are in plain sight and easy reach for anyone to grab and take a peek.
You know what? Last time I went to – here's a good point. I'm going to make this point. Last time I went to Scolari's and Raley's, I like to peruse the magazine aisle.
Okay.
All of the quote-unquote gun porn magazines are on the second shelf.
Right.
With Maxim, Men's Health, Playboy – and those are sold in Scolari's, right?
Are they really?
Yeah, they are.
I guess I've been in Scolari's.
The bottom shelf is, Vogue and, those types of magazines. You know what is within reach of these precious young children?
Yeah.
All those romance, and by romance I mean sex novels.
Yeah.
Those are within reach.
Well, if you're going to be outraged, you should be outraged equally across the board, right?
You should be.
Well, so this
argument doesn't hold water.
Not with these people, but it's so ludicrous. You know, did you see the controversy with Ted Cruz?
Negative.
What? All right. When we come back from the break, let's talk about Ted Cruz and how you properly hold a shotgun.
I saw the photo.
Yeah.
I want to hear about that. All right. Okay. We're going to be back after the break. You're listening to Ben and Gary, K News 107.3 FM, Arm Nevada Radio. All right. We're back with Ben and Gary on Arm Nevada Radio. You listen to us on K News 107.3 FM. And Ben, you had, we're talking about
Ted Cruz. Well, controversy. He has tried to brand himself as the absolute Second Amendment candidate, right?
And I believe he's sincere.
And I do too. And his voting record backs it up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing on record like there is with Ben Carson and Donald Trump where they have kind of become born-again gun enthusiasts or Second Amendment supporters, because Trump, he was for the assault weapons ban as late as, what was that, 2001, I think he had that quote.
Yeah.
And Ben Carson, as early as a few years ago, he was stating that people in urban areas shouldn't have semi-automatic weapons. So anyways, Ted Cruz has branded himself as the absolute defender of the Second Amendment. So he came under fire this week because I guess there was a photo or a video that came out showing him holding a break-action shotgun.
Mm-hmm. He's out pheasant hunting.
So he's got his orange hat, all his hunter safety gear on, right? And he's talking to an individual. He's got the gun draped over his shoulder with the muzzle pointed behind him. And let's see, who is the person that went after him? Wes Seiler, who is a blogger over at Gizmodo, went after him saying he doesn't know how to carry a shotgun. That... while the action is visibly open, he is still not in control of the muzzle direction of his firearm, saying that...
Wait. Isn't his muzzle up?
Well, it's I don't know. If you look at the picture, the way they've got this.
Yeah, well, clearly the breach is empty.
Right. So anyways.
So it's a cleared weapon.
Well, so he comes after him saying he doesn't know hunter safety. He must be all talk when it comes to guns, right? Except that the article points out that a couple of gun safety courses, particularly one from Texas's Department of Public Safety and their Department of Wildlife, shows that that's a recommended way to carry your break-action shotgun. So it's kind of a like a non-story, I think. I think it's just people going after.
People are reaching. They're looking for anything to bash, you know, Republican gun advocate candidates. And that's just, you know what, that's a pretty lame reach right there.
So we're going to – I'm going to post this because he's saying he's supposed to hold it forward where the muzzle is pointed down in front of you. You know what? Both are acceptable ways of carrying.
Sure.
And, but, you know, here – you know, gun safety courses, and they show pictures from one of the gun safety courses where she's holding it exactly the way Ted Cruz is. So I think this is a non-story. So
it is a non-story.
Don't believe the liberal media in this case.
Don't believe the hype. Don't buy into it.
So did you watch the latest GOP presidential debate? I know we're all getting really tired of this, but...
Yeah, I've actually... you talking about the one on MSNBC? Was it
CNBC?
CNBC,
yeah. The marathon one for, what was it, 2.5 hours or whatever?
I was dumber for having watched it.
Well, it really was ridiculous, except for...
Ted Cruz had a shining moment.
Well, Ted Cruz did pretty well. Even though I hate Chris Christie, I think he's not a real conservative. He had a pretty good night.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Carson did pretty well, and so did Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio did tremendously well.
Rubio put Jeb Bush in his place, and I think Jeb's campaign is effectively over at this point.
I think so, too.
Good. I'm tired of political leftovers.
Yeah.
But the thing I thought was interesting, did you see the exchange where they asked Donald Trump about concealed carry?
No. I had turned it off at that point.
It was interesting because I think he had one of the best gun quotes of the night, and then I think he... proved himself to be a little bit of a gun support amateur. Mm-hmm. And so the reason I say that is, one, he talks about gun-free zones, and he says they're basically shooting galleries for the crazy.
I would agree with that.
Amen and absolutely. Yep. So that was awesome. I, you know, applaud him for that statement, right? But then the person brings up, however, at Trump resorts and Trump hotels...
Oh, let me guess.
Firearms are not allowed for guests or employees. And one of the people moderating it asked, so from this point forward, will you allow employees and guests to carry in your properties? And he goes, well, I'll have to examine that. You know what, Donald
so
Trump?
So it's wrong for everybody else except
right.
him.
Well, to me, you know what? I like Donald Trump as a candidate because he's forcing people to talk about things that have
yes.
to be talked about. And I don't think the establishment wants to talk about. But when things like this happen... it just makes me feel like he's not exactly the candidate we need because he's not walking the walk or talking the talk.
Exactly. I like Trump because he's not an establishment candidate.
Right.
And, you know, I think we need that today.
Oh, I think so,
I think
too.
At this point in our country's history, right now, at this moment in time, that's what we need, which is why I like Marco Rubio. I don't, you know what? I don't fault him for his absenteeism from Congress.
No,
I don't.
No, please. Nobody yeah. faulted Obama for
no.
his absenteeism.
Nobody ripped on Obama. Obama had less time in the Senate than it takes for an employee to be promoted to manager at 7-Eleven. So don't give me that garbage.
Right.
I'm leaning towards Ted Cruz at this point. I'm still undecided.
Yeah.
But you know what? Ted Cruz has been consistent on Second Amendment issues. I like what he says about taxes and
right.
abolishing the IRS.
Oh, amen to that.
Yep. I like where he stands on the issues. And
right.
I'm more leaning towards Ted Cruz at this point, but I'm still undecided between him and Trump. I don't know that I can... I'm not quite there where I'm forgiving Trump for some of the things.
Here's
nothing
the challenge.
He said, but his flip-flops.
I think Ted Cruz lacks a little bit of the charisma.
He does.
You know, he does.
Yeah.
On the issues, when I look at... If you look at black and white in print, I'm probably a Ted Cruz supporter all day long.
Yeah.
The only issue is when I listen to him speak, you know, he's not.
He speaks. Tell me if you agree with this. He speaks presidential ease.
Well, yeah.
He sounds every time he talks. He sounds like he's given a prepared speech.
He's an attorney, and part of that is, you know, he was as the Solicitor General of what was that, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's just kind of the art that he learned in law school, but
yeah.
he's just not, he's not like Ronald Reagan charismatic.
No, it's oh for sure.
He doesn't. I don't feel like he has presence, except that he's rock solid on the issues, and his record backs up what he talks about on the stage.
Yeah.
So I like Ted Cruz. I just don't know that is he electable against the Hillary machine.
You know what? I'll tell you what. I believe he is, and I can't wait to see him debate Hillary Clinton one-on-one. I hope that happens.
I think he would clean her clock.
I think he would, too. Hillary has been insulated and protected by her entourage for far too long.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, when she gets on that debate stage, look, let's just say it right now. Hillary's going to be the Democratic nominee. That's who it's going
to
be.
I want her to be behind bars, not up on a presidential.
I know, but look, they elected Obama twice, and look at that train wreck.
Yeah.
She's going to be the Democratic nominee. And I'll tell you what, given the intelligence level of those voters, she stands a good chance
and you
of
know
being
what?
The next president. And what did we say at the beginning of the show off mic? What did you say about the destruction of the Republic if she's elected?
It's guaranteed. And yep. You know what? Gun owners, make no mistake. 2016 is going to be all about our rights to bear arms.
Yes.
Because there are several things that going on. Executive orders. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If we have Hillary as president, you really think that she is going to sit back and allow Congress to jam her up on gun control? I don't
Not
think so. The other thing is, are we going to allow Hillary to nominate 1, 2, 3 Supreme Court judges over the course of her presidential term?
If that happens,
we are done.
Yep.
If the Supreme Court swings back, I really think that there's an agenda enough to where the Supreme Court will take.
I truly fear for the future of this nation if Hillary is elected president, because she is that arrogant and believes so much in her own self-righteousness that it's what's best for Hillary. It's not what is best for this country. It's what is best for Hillary. That's what she and her idiot husband have been all about since the day they came on the political scene.
Well, and make
it's about
no
their royalty.
Make no mistake. You know, Bill may have been moderate in terms of his policies. Hillary is not.
No, Hillary's not. She's anything but moderate.
Her worldview is very left.
Yeah.
So it's, you know what? It's time to start paying attention, I think. You know,
I hope people are. I hope they're really paying attention, because I'm telling you, I fear for the future.
The stakes are huge.
Yep. I want to close it out on this.
All right.
As many of you know, I'm going to make this very quick because we're up against the end of the show. This is No Shave November. And I'm going to come out and say, No Shave November, for me, also includes the other 11 months of the year.
Yep.
Much to my wife's chagrin.
I know.
I am not touching this glorious beard.
You never should you.
The last time I did, you raked me over the coals for it.
You deserved it.
I did. Don't shave your beard without consulting me. You're
right?
My best model. Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
All right. Well, it's been a great show. I want to thank our producer, Sean from the Sean Travis and Dave Show, for really doing a wonderful job every Saturday.
Always
here
keeping us organized.
Boards. He's always keeping us organized, keeping us on the clock.
Yep.
All right. We're going to get out of here.
All right. Ben, stay armed. Stay safe.
Stay armed. Stay safe. Stay vigilant. And we will see you all next weekend. Bye.
And stay out of California.
Yeah.